This is Evan Dietrich Smith, and you're watching Cheesehead TV. Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football, as usual. Today, we're talking about the topic on most every Packers fan's mind. Got a lot of attention yesterday, even the day before. We're talking about the desire of one Nick Collins to return to football. And Nick Collins got a lot of attention in the past 24 hours or so for comments he made on Twitter. He made kind of a series of tweets, maybe just two, that have gotten a lot of attention because he wasn't really vague. He wasn't really cryptic in what he wrote. It is clear former Packers safety Nick Collins wants to return to play football. Nick Collins tweeted, quote, "Who's looking for a top-notch free safety? This kid is ready to dominate 2014. Later, Nick Collins tweeting, "Nick DePick, 36, is ready for action," end quote. So, yeah, I mean, he's splitting no hairs here. Nick Collins wants to play again. But here's the catch, folks. Here's my take on it. Nick Collins has been a free agent for 2 years. Nick Collins has been free to sign with any team that he wants and any team that will take him for the past 2 years. Nothing has changed. In 2 years, when he was released from the Packers in roughly April of 2012, coming off that injury suffered during the 2011 season, Nick Collins could have played anywhere he wants. And you know, basically the impression that I get in from interviews that I've read, Nick Collins has always desired to play football. It's not like he wanted to retire. He's basically forced into retirement. I don't know if he officially signed any retirement papers, anything along those lines. But Nick Collins has always really kind of expressed this desire to play again. But nothing has changed. The Packers didn't feel comfortable clearing him to return to action in a high collision sport at a position like safety where that has frequent big time collisions, you could say, they're not comfortable in putting him out there on the field with the potential for re-injury. And this really goes beyond the Packers because, like I said, he's been a free agent. He could have signed anywhere he wanted if a team would clear him. And it sure appears as if no other team in the NFL is comfortable in clearing him either. So, I mean, really, nothing, to my knowledge, has changed. There's been no change in his prognosis, no change from his doctor, their stance toward him playing again. I mean, and again, it doesn't matter what one random doctor would say. If Nick Collins would go to his own personal doctor and says, "Yeah, I'll clear you to play," that wouldn't even matter one iota. What matters is any potential team Nick Collins would play for, that team's doctors clearing him for action. The same thing goes with Jermichael Finley, to go off on a little bit of a tangent here, folks, during the week of the Super Bowl, JerMichael Finley said his doctor's going to clear him like 99.9%, something along those lines. I'll tell you what, folks, it doesn't matter one little tiny bit what JerMichael Finley's personal doctor thinks or that he clears him. All that matters is any team he might go to, with JerMichael Finley, of course, being an upcoming free agent. All that matters is that team and if they're going to clear him. So, yeah, I mean, this whole thing about personal doctors, wherever he might go to get his own medical opinion, really has no bearing on their future playing future in the NFL, whether it be with the Packers or any other team here. So, yeah, I mean, coming back to Nick Collins, of course, there's a lot of attention in Green Bay at the safety position because they got such poor play there in 2013. The job Morgan Burnett and MD Jennings did, and not just them. I mean, you can talk about Jerron McMillan and how he was cut midseason. What they did, I mean, was so really pathetic, you know, in comparison to other safety position groups in the NFL and really NFL history, not coming up with a single interception. Really, really poor, no doubt about it. There's reason. I understand why Packers fans want an upgrade, that they'll look for any means possible to upgrade the position. And it would be great if all of a sudden Nick Collins could play. Heck, it's not like he's basically a street free agent. He probably wouldn't cost much because of coming off the injury and being the layoff for 2 years. He wouldn't count towards the free agent comp pick equation where the Packers would he would cancel out any free agent the Packers lost. Nothing like that. You know, the Packers, you know, if Nick Collins were to play, hypothetically, I mean, the Packers wouldn't have to go out in free agency and spend big-time money on a free agent. They wouldn't maybe perhaps have to address the safety position early in the draft on the first, you know, day or two. It would be a great method of procuring talent at a position that sorely needs it. I understand all that, but again, nothing has changed, and it isn't likely to. Now, by all means, this is a business of never say never. I would never, you know, close the door on Nick Collins entirely, but I think the chances of him coming back are about 1%. I think the chances of the Packers changing their opinion on the risk that he, you know, might face in coming back and playing football again. But, I'll leave that door open a crack, but that's all I'm going to leave it open is a crack. I mean, if anybody out there is holding their breath for the Packers to sign Nick Collins, go back to your regular work routine by any means. Don't expect this to change anytime soon. What's interesting, and sorry, by the way, I'm still kind of battling through the end of this cold I have. I apologize if you have to suffer through a somewhat nasally voice on today's show. Hopefully I'm only getting, I feel better than I was on Monday when we had our last episode. Slowly, progressively getting better and better here. But I apologize for the nasally voice. But talking about Nick Collins here, it's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. You're better off talking about free agents. You are better off talking about potential targets in the NFL draft that the Packers might actually select, things like that, and things we will do on this show in the upcoming weeks as it gets closer to free agency, as it gets closer to the NFL draft. But, you know, of course, right now, talking about Nick Collins' desire to play football again, what's interesting is, you know, based upon, I think the tweets came from fellow Packer, Tremont Williams. He's actually, apparently, Tremont Williams and James Jones are on vacation with Nick Collins and their families as well, their wives apparently. I don't know where they are, but they are all there together. You know, I can absolutely see kind of all these players reminiscing. These guys were all on the team together during that Packers Super Bowl team of 2010, following the 2010 season, Super Bowl XLV. You could see these guys reminiscing, and Nick Collins kind of getting that fire to play again. I can absolutely see that happening in my mind's eye and kind of being the impetus for Nick Collins to take to Twitter to express his desire to play again. I mean, hey, and if you're Nick Collins, by all means, I mean, what he did here and taking his you know, voice to social media and putting his desire out there for a large audience to see, I could see already these tweets that Nick Collins has made. He's already had 937 retweets and 894 people favorite his tweet that he made saying he wants to play again and he's ready to dominate. That's hilarious. But I mean, he's doing a very effective job of getting his name out there. I mean, this has been mentioned in football blogs and by the media quite a bit, you know, like I said, over the past 24 hours. And who knows? I mean, all it takes is one. If we're not talking about the Packers here, all it takes is one team to be able to clear him and you know, say, okay, it's safe for you to play. I mean, that's probably all Nick Collins really wants. I mean, he would probably give the Packers first crack just because that's where he played last and he finished his career. He really seems to like the Packers, and all interviews that I've seen, he's, you know, talked about Packers fans being the best, being great. So, I mean, by all means, he would probably give the Packers first crack. But if not, I think all he's looking for is a chance for any team out there. And who knows, maybe that will happen. Like I said, you know, just one out of 32 teams is all it takes. So perhaps maybe we'll be seeing Nick Collins play somewhere in the NFL in 2014. I doubt it's with the Packers, to tell you the truth. I doubt it's anywhere, but who knows? Like I said, leave that door open a crack. Maybe we'll see Nick Collins somewhere down the road. Another story I wanted to get to today on today's Railbird Central is about an article, and I wrote a post about this at Cheesehead TV. You can scroll down to the bottom right-hand corner of your screen and see the most recent articles here we've written at the website. And a little item here from Peter King of Sports Illustrated and his MMQB.com website and his Monday Morning Quarterback column that he writes every week on Monday morning that it's published. So in his latest post-Super Bowl column, and of course, you know, Peter King's column being very lengthy, as part of it, he did a final ranking of all NFL teams, or not all, I should say, the top 15 teams in the NFL. He took a stab at ranking them. And he had the Green Bay Packers ranked at number 8 overall, the number 8 team in football this year. And I would say that's very roughly where I would rank them as well, as I think most people. You might have them one ahead or one behind or whatever, but he's pretty close there. But what's interesting is in his rankings, he kind of made a comment about every team that he ranked. And they were just kind of quick little quips, just kind of one parting thought on each team. And here's what he had to say about the Green Bay Packers. King says, quote, "I'd be surprised if Ted Thompson doesn't take a tackle with one of his first two picks in May," end quote. And here's the thing that's kind of surprising. I mean, Peter King could have written anything. He could have written hundreds of things about the Green Bay Packers. Why did he choose to write about offensive tackle and the Packers taking one in the first two picks of the NFL draft? It really is kind of curious that he would say that. I would say most people don't think the Packers need to take an offensive tackle with their first two picks. And you know, by the way, he doesn't specify offensive tackle, although I think when people talk about football in general and they just say tackle, they mean offensive, not defensive. But anyway, here, you know, after the play the Packers got from David Bakhtiari at left tackle in 2013, the guy who protected Aaron Rodgers' backside, when you have that and how well this rookie stepped in, and he wasn't great by any means, but for the you know, the adverse situation he stepped into, for the way he was able to pass block, I think David Bakhtiari did a very good job and has a very bright future ahead of him. Now, combine that with the Packers' depth chart at the offensive tackle position, where they have two recent first-round draft choices on the team, albeit guys who have been injured and major injuries recently. Brian Bulaga, of course, missed the entire 2013 season with a torn ACL, ended up on injured reserve, missed the entire year, happened during training camp. And that's following a year in which before he kind of fractured his hip and ended the year on injured reserve in 2012. So there's that. Then you've got Derek Sherrod, who spent basically two full years trying to come back from a very gruesome broken leg in which he fractured both the tibia and the fibula. Terrible, terrible injury. Took him 2 years to come back. Finally, toward the end of the 2013 season, he was finally playing again, albeit most of it was just on special teams. Derek Sherrod taking part in all of six offensive snaps this past season. He's still really on his comeback trail as well. It is, and what went through my mind is, why would Peter King say this unless perhaps maybe he knew that, you know, the recoveries from Brian Bulaga and Derek Sherrod respectively maybe quite weren't going as well as the Packers had hoped they would. And only the Packers know this. I mean, they saw Derek Sherrod practice in and practice out from the time he came back. And, you know, he was with the team the last 2 months of the season or so. I think they have a pretty good idea of where Derek Sherrod is in his recovery. And albeit, you know, certainly the off season, this time off will help him in terms of trying to come back again. He's got a full entire off season before, you know, 2014 season starts. And Brian Bulaga, you know, I know he's been doing a lot of his recovery work away from the Packers facilities. As I understand it, he's been spending time at that IMG Academy in Bradenton, Florida, where a lot of elite athletes train. But, I mean, I know Brian Bulaga has been in Green Bay. He was there the day after that playoff loss for kind of, you know, wrapping up the season, and he actually talked to the media and all that. I mean, What if the Packers know these guys, you know, might not be the same players ever again? Well, then, yeah, maybe I can understand the Packers needing a tackle. Although, I mean, if there's any uncertainty whatsoever and you think that these guys might come back and be fine, I mean, boy, you've got Bakhtiari, you've got Bulaga, and hey, you've got Derek Sherrod as a top backup. I mean, there's three guys right there. If they're all healthy and you take an offensive tackle in the NFL draft, that offensive tackle isn't going to play whatsoever, isn't even going to see the field, you would think, ahead of these guys if they are indeed healthy, which I understand is a big if. But, you know, that's what I'm saying here is, you know, it kind of, this comment from Peter King kind of came out of left field a little bit. And I've had some people talk to me on social media, on Twitter, saying, you know, hey, maybe just as a national guy, Peter King just, you know, really, you know, doesn't know the Packers maybe quite in depth as maybe he should, or that he was just, you know, pressed for time and just kind of gave a, you know, one-off comment he didn't think very much about. But you know, what I go back to is Peter King could have written 100 different things. Why this? Why the need at tackle? Why did he choose to say that when he could have said something less controversial? So, I mean, it just, yeah, it really kind of came out of left field a little bit. And just something I thought was curious that is worth debating about at the very least until we find out more, until the Packers are more forthcoming about some injury. And I understand they probably don't want to close the door on anybody yet, considering they have an entire off season to, you know, recover, recuperate some more and get strength back and speed back and all those kind of things. But I mean, that's what we're left to speculate about in absence of any sort of information like that. Here we are wondering what's up with the tackles of the Packers. They have Don Barclay, who did an okay job for the Packers in 2013. I think you're better off with Don Barclay being a backup than you are a starter. He seems to be a guy who, you know, tries really hard, and he's a fighter. He's not going to back down, but I don't think he's a guy you necessarily want in your starting lineup unless it really comes down to it. That and Packers, of course, got terrible play from Marshall Newhouse in 2013, but he's a free agent. He is very likely gone after the season here. So when you consider all those things, I can see a little bit about where the Packers would need a tackle. But to say it's going to happen in the first two picks, rounds one and two, wow. I mean, that those are slots in the draft that I would think the Packers would address with bigger needs on the team. If you ask me, the three biggest needs on the Packers, kind of not taking into consideration what's going to happen in free agency here, you know, are safety, inside linebacker, and tight end. You know, I would think the Packers would address those positions, two out of those three, you would think, in the first 2 days of the draft, you know, rounds one and rounds two and three. You would think the Packers would address those positions at some point, and they could kind of do them out of order, you know, whatever order they wanted to, but I just don't have tackle at the top of that heap. And, you know, not that I don't think the Packers couldn't take a tackle anywhere. I just think, you know, boy, if you're looking for a guy who's going to contribute to this team right away, and you're looking for a guy to fill a hole and improve this team from the get-go, boy, you better find a safety somewhere. You better find a tight end, and maybe you better find an inside linebacker to compete for a job with A.J. Hawk and with Brad Jones. I think that's the way to go if you're the Packers approaching this 2014 NFL draft instead of, you know, kind of going after an offensive lineman here. And you know, you can kind of look at this in a very general sense and say, you know, like the Packers have done, you know, they basically what they do everywhere is they draft college offensive tackles. And even, you know, once they're in Green Bay, once they reach the NFL, a lot of these guys transition to the interior of the offensive line, be it guard or center. So they're basically kind of drafting college tackles almost exclusively and then converting them to interior offensive linemen. And maybe that's what happens with the Packers again at a position like center that they could need, depending upon what happens to Evan Dietrich Smith in free agency. But again, here I'm kind of reading the tea leaves here, kind of very much reading into this comment that was just one sentence written by Peter King. But you know, again, like I said, it was such a head scratcher, such an eyebrow raiser that, you know, he could have said any number of things about the Packers. Why does he insist that the Packers tackle position is such a questionable proposition at this point? Is there reason to believe Brian Bulaga isn't on the road to recovery? That Derek Sherrod is done as an NFL player? Is there reason to believe that he's, you know, actually has some inside information, has talked to people within the Packers organization that believe that could be the case? Maybe. I don't really know. You know, and at some point again here on the show, we can talk about NFL draft prospects at the tackle position, who might be available at number 21 overall or who might be available in the second round. We'll definitely get to those things in the run-up to the draft. We'll have plenty of draft experts on the show, things like that, you know, especially starting. And now I think it's exactly 2 weeks from today. The NFL Combine starts in exactly 2 weeks, so it really isn't that far off that we're going to be talking about a lot of these college guys who are you know, participating in the Combine and going through this NFL draft process in which, you know, they might be prospects for the Packers. So that's not far off, and that'll be a lot of the discussion time we spend on the show here on Railbird Central in the upcoming weeks here at CheeseheadTV.com. But it's almost 9 o'clock here, folks, and that's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you, as always, for tuning in to the show and talking some Packers football with us. Great to talk about Nick Collins, although I think the ship has sailed there. It's interesting to see that he does want to play again. And interesting to talk about this tackle position as well in Green Bay and what may or may not be happening there. Entirely speculation, but hey, that's what this show is for, right? So we'll see you, folks. We'll see you on Friday, next episode, as we do every Monday, Wednesday, Friday here at 8:30 a.m. Central Time on this show. So join us then. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Caravu. We'll see you later, everyone. I leave you today with a song called Break, Build, Burn from Lotus on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go, Pack, go.